in Nashville. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
Hope you're doing well. And I
thank you.
We were discussing a bit during the break, just trying to get a sense of when things get going again, and in sports in particular. When do you think you're going to be back at St. Thomas Sports Park? What's the latest?
It feels like next week. There are a lot of discussions to be had. The league sent out something late on Friday that's allowing 75 people to go back into various facilities. It's not coaches and players, and I think everybody knows that. But when you saw NFL facilities opening up, I think a lot of people assumed it was coaches and players. It's not. It's some staff members, and if you have remote sites like we do, particularly at Nissan Stadium with the ticket office, the 75 members all count in that. And so our staff has been really, really diligent. I think they're going to continue to have meetings about how we do this, continue to put together the groups of people that can be in and need to be in and how to rotate. The other thing you're having to do, too, is you're having to make sure the offices themselves are set up safely. Because you think about any normal office, and we have this, too, with cubicles or, you know, different desk locations. I mean, some of that you just can't do. So I think Burke Nyhill and John Robinson are going to use extreme caution in how they sort of formulate the plan. I would anticipate we'll get some more guidance from the league today and throughout the rest of the week, and would feel like we'll probably start getting back in next week on a more formal basis. But again, while there are people related to football that can be in the offices, coaches and players, unless you're on a rehab assignment, cannot be.
That rehab assignment, Jeffrey Simmons is still in there with Frank Perano and Todd Torricelli. You surprised that he qualifies for that this far removed from his ACL? It's heck, we're pushing towards a year and a half now.
No, not surprised in the least, because you know he continued to go through things with the knee, continued to do rehab things throughout the course of the year. Obviously, you know, started the year and was not able to play in the first six games. So, no, I'm not surprised in the least. His recovery, being that we're now just over a year removed from the surgery was just a little over 14 months ago. I mean, it really is an amazing story. So, no, I'm not surprised in the least that he would qualify. I think most people are just surprised that he played at all last year.
It sounds so two-pronged. His recovery is an amazing story. He played and he was great, yet he's still rehab.
But it continues. You know, that's the thing is, I think we saw Jeffrey Simmons at 75 to 80%. And he was able to play. And I'm sure he battled some soreness and some other things that go along with that surgery. You know, there are often different follow-up milestones that you have to go through on what is, in most cases, a minimum nine-month recovery. So, you know, I think the Jeffrey Simmons we're going to see this fall is going to be a lot closer to the Jeffrey Simmons that we saw at Mississippi State.
Mike, likely we're not going to have any on-field work around the league this offseason, and I think we can all assume that. How much of an advantage can that be for a Titans offense that returns practically everyone?
It's got to be. And a coaching staff that totally returns intact. You know, the defensive staff is undergoing some movement with Dean Pee's retirement and Kerry Combs and, you know, some of the other things that we've done, bringing in Jim Haslett and sort of retweaking and figuring out what Vrabel's role is going to be. The offensive staff's all back. The quarterback's back. 10 starters are back. The 11th starter is a 30-year-old tackle who's played a lot of football for us. You know, top three wide receivers, top three tight ends. It could be a huge advantage. I think it's got to be an advantage that the Titans press when we begin, because particularly starting at home and knowing that we're going to start off without any offseason as we know it. And again, we don't know what training camp's going to look like either. So that being the case, that's got to be an advantage that you have to press, and it feels like the Titans have it, yes.
Paul, you agree?
On offense, I tend to agree, as long as Evans can pick up the rush. But I think it may be offset on the other side, because I think the Dean Pease departure is huge.
And I think the other part of it too, Paulie, is for us, it's a different mantra entering the season. It seems like more years than not, the defense has had to start the year carrying the offense to a certain extent. It may be that for a while, the offense, for a change, has to carry the defense until they get their sea legs, so to speak.
Every single time we've said that, hasn't happened.
If you think about it, it's also for the same reasons it's an advantage for the Titans offense. There is an advantage for the Titans defense because they are facing offenses out of the gate with young quarterbacks or new coordinators. A young quarterback, an unproven guy. We think we like Drew Locke. That's what they're saying in Denver with what they're doing, but we don't know. Same with Gardner Minshew with a new coordinator there. That should also be beneficial. I think the prevailing theme will be offenses are slow out of the gate.
And I agree. But you know what you need to do with those young quarterbacks, Hutt? Hit them. And you know what the Titans haven't proven that they can do to young quarterbacks? Hit them.
Fair.
They're going to scheme it up, right, Mike? They're going to scheme it up. They're not going to get any players. They're just going to scheme it up.
Here's the advantage that I think that you have to take. Scheming it up's fine and all of that.
No, it's not. It's not. What teams who hit the quarterback do is get guys who hit the quarterback.
How about this? Get ahead. Make them one-dimensional. Score 30 points a game, like what you did the last 10 games of last year. That's what I'm talking. You know, instead of all of the things that you have to do to theoretically win a game 20-17, let's get ahead. Let's take advantage of this offense and put ourselves in a position where we make the opposition predictable. And then whatever defensive issues you have are lessened by the fact that you're able to go after the opposing quarterback in a different way.
Why not, though, at some point, you've now, organizationally, in the Robinson-Vrabel era, ticked off every defensive scenario except the most successful one at hitting the quarterback, which is get a premier pass rusher. So you've schemed it up with coverage. Now you're going to scheme it up by getting ahead. What you do is get a guy, beats people, and sacks the quarterback.
Well, we have a guy who has 15 and a half sacks in a year in his career. We have a guy who had 9 sacks for us last year. I think we have a defensive tackle who's going to be I'm telling you, I think we have a defensive tackle who's going to be one of the dominant players in the league. I like our personnel on defense. I think whether or not, and I know we're going to get to the Clowney thing at some point, I think whether or not this defense adds Clowney, I think it's going to be an effective defense. I'm just saying, to answer Jonathan's initial point, which is I think the offense, because it is more intact, has a chance to start the season in a different place. I think the defense is going to be just fine.
I think you should get a guy with 9 sacks on a billboard and sell tickets based on that. I mean, we're going to sell Vic Beasley, what he did 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Harold Landry is the player. You might want to look at the stats. Harold Landry is the player who had 9 sacks last
year. What did Harold Landry do in the second half of last season?
He had a stretch of 5 straight games where he had a sack.
What time of the year was that?
That was late in the year. I think that was November into December, if you check that.
That's best pass rusher on this team late in the year was Kamale Correa, and you shouldn't be putting him on any billboards either.
And guess what? We re-signed him. So we've got Correa. We've got Beasley. We've got Landry. We've got Simmons. We've got Daquan Jones. We have linebackers that can rush the pass. Remember, 2 years ago, Jayon Brown had 6 sacks. So I think we're a little better sacking the quarterback than you give us credit for being.
I think you're consistently not going and getting a guy or attempting to get a guy who's a singular force in going and getting. You've done it at other.
Who would that be?
I don't know. I'm not the scout.
GM. If you don't know, then who was it? Who was it we missed?
Find them, move up, move down, go get them.
Was it we missed in free agency? And remember, free agency ain't over yet either.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that Clowney's the cure either. He's not a big sack guy.
Well,
go pay $12 million a year for a guy that stops the run.
Paul, you're arguing against a guy who is known for his call of quarterback sacks, that he doesn't want more quarterbacks.
He's fine with scheming it up.
I never said scheme it up.
Mike Vrabel doesn't like sacks. He thinks they're overrated.
Mike Vrabel's the leading sack guy in Ohio State history. He made his career sacking the quarterback. What are you talking about? You are playing the famous Office Space game, Jump to Conclusions. That is your favorite game, Jump to Conclusions.
You ask Mike Vrabel about sacks anytime, he'll tell you how you can't just look at sacks, blah, 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 blah. Now, someday when he gets a sack guy, he'll tell us how important they are. But in the meantime, they're not that important. Just alter the quarterback.
More back and forth with Mike Keith next. Midday with 80, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
Sponsored by
$300, all 10 games, limit 4 per person. And it's very simple. You get sent your tickets to your mobile app, so they're mobile tickets only. The tickets are not in the same place every week, as you said, but it is a great deal for somebody who wants to see Titans football. Again, 10 games, $300, the 2020 Fireball Fast Pass brought to you by Coca-Cola and Twice Daily. For more on that, operators are standing by, as they say, 615-565-4200.
And while we're mentioning the website, you can also go to TennesseeTitans.com. The OTP back up. I know Coach Mack I was talking with him last night. He's recording some things this week.
Coach Mack is everywhere. Coach Mack is going to continue to be a big part of what we do for the team and for Titans Radio, and I don't think that surprises Titans fans anywhere. I mean, you guys know this. The response we get to Coach Mack is just unreal. So we're really lucky to have him and very fortunate that he wants to be involved in as many things as he does. It's a lot of fun.
A good discussion that Steve Lehman and John Burton had last night on Channel 5 or Sunday Sports Central involved the 2020 players offensively that I wanted to see improve in order for them to get to the next level offensively. And so in thinking about it, you want more of the same from Tannehill and Henry and A.J. Brown. The players I mentioned, and we'll see if you guys agree, Nate Davis at right guard came to mind. Jonnu Smith was a player they featured, and I'll get to my point on him in a moment. And then I mentioned Darrington Evans because he's going to be a key contributor out of the backfield. There's a reason why Deion Lewis isn't here and why Darrington Evans was drafted. He needs to be a hit pretty early within this offensive set. And at right guard, the expectation for a third-round pick in year two is to improve off the rookie season where he didn't have training camp, technically, because he was hurt. And also the expectation is he eventually, very sooner rather than later, I guess, is he's going to be playing next to a rookie right tackle. So because of that, he's on that list for sure.
I think Nate Davis is a big one on that list, especially because he is going to have a new right tackle, regardless if it's Wilson or if it's Kelly, the veteran. He needs to take a step. He played very well down the stretch, played much better in December and into the playoffs. He has good physical ability. He now knows what to do. The Titans feel like he can be a really, really good player, and they're excited about him. Evans is a rookie I'm excited about because I think Evans can do a lot of different things in multiple packages. I know he's being talked about as more of a pass catcher than Henry, and I think he is, but I think he can do more than that. I'm a real believer in this player's talent. I think the skill set that jumps out to me is the fact that he's a guy that if you want him to handle the ball 20 times a game, if he has to, he can. And so when he goes on the field, you're not automatically going to say, oh, the only reason he's here is to catch a swing pass. He can run it. He can pass protect. He can catch. And I think the versatility of the player in making you less predictable has to be a big factor with Darrington Evans. And I think it's going to be.
I'm going to add one here, Hutt.
Okay.
That Michael immediately apologized for. Corey Davis. 5 of his 14 games last year, 2 catches or fewer. I'm sure Michael say there are not enough balls to go around, that he's busy blocking downfield, et cetera, et cetera. His option's not picked up. He's not going to be here beyond this year. I need more from my number 2 receiver, even as Adam Humphries gets healthy and hopefully contributes more. The guy's got to do more on a consistent basis. He's got to make more plays to help open other guys up. And based on where he came into this team, what he's supposed to be.
I think we need 2018 numbers from Corey Davis. You know, 65 catches, nearly 900 receiving yards. I think those are numbers that he can put up in this offense. We need more from Humphreys, too. We need a healthy Humphreys.
Absolutely.
For the whole year. So I think the wide receiver core, particularly with how this offense now shapes up, has a chance to do more. And I think that's exciting. But, Davis needs more than what he did last year. I think he would say that. I'm not disputing that at all.
And they mentioned last night, you know, Jonnu Smith being a breakout candidate. And I can see it because he's a mismatch because of his athleticism. But as we're talking about, there are targets to go around within this offense. And I think, you know, a lot of people compare him to Delanie Walker production-wise.
Right.
And we have seen him combined for his first two seasons go over the reception number, 35 receptions last year for Jonnu. That's more than what he had in the first 2 years combined. But Delanie was the guy during the time where there weren't many guys offensively to throw to.
Right.
And now there are so many options. It's a bit unfair to compare production at the tight end spot just by a stat sheet, even though he can be as productive in a given year.
I'm betting on him, Mike, because of this time with Tannehill. I think if you're throwing to nobody but one guy for several months, I'm saying the same thing about Lamar Jackson and Hollywood Brown, who are together in Florida. Any of these combinations, if I'm a fantasy football drafter, I'm looking at guys who've been together in April and May.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's 100% right. I do think, however, though, for this Titans offense, I think there's a real chance that Jonnu Smith is very productive and yet, unlike Delanie Walker, doesn't lead the team in receptions. In other words, I think he's got an opportunity to make more big plays, but personally, I think you could make the case that you'd like to see one of the wide receivers or multiple wide receivers be the ones who lead the team in catches, and then all of a sudden you hit Jonnu Smith with these big plays where he is a very difficult matchup. I think Adam Humphreys almost takes the Delanie Walker role. You know, the third down, the get open quickly, get the ball out. Jonnu has a skill set that is highly unusual with his breakaway speed.
He is the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith. Nice enough to join us on this Monday morning. Mike, enjoy the week. Enjoy the long weekend coming up, and we'll catch up soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
More coming with Midday 180. Paul, let's get back into The Last Dance. Some takeaways as I watched last night the final two episodes, including just the drama that had to be navigated with this Bulls team and what they actually accomplished through all of those hurdles. John Feinstein coming up at 11:15. It's the Midday 180 queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
Worried about the